are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by the SID Media. So, virtual worship services have become a popular alternative to traditional in-person church gatherings, offering accessibility and flexibility. Yet, they come with their own set of challenges and opportunities. How does participating in online worship compare to attending services in person? And what are the implications for our spiritual experience? So let us examine the pros and cons of virtual church in today's digital world with my pastor, Pastor Chikumbirike, who's joining us on the line. Mfundisi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
I am good. I'm glad. We often blame COVID for online churches, but like with the emergence of COVID, you know, we started doing things online. I'm like, where? If COVID didn't come, maybe we wouldn't be speaking about online churches now. Yeah. So before we start, Mfundisi, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer?
Sure. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for the gift of life. Thank you for yet another opportunity to discuss issues that pertain to our salvation. May you guide our deliberations. May you bless every listener. In Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen and amen. All things virtual. For me, Mfundisi, when I'm at home, I won't lie. When I'm attending an online service, there is no pampering myself, you know, looking all nice. In fact, sometimes I'm in my bed, you know, in my pyjamas, then I'm attending there, which is different because when I have to go out now, I have to take a bath, I have to look nice, you know, presentable and everything else, which I think one is one of those advantages there. But what are some of the main advantages and disadvantages of attending virtual worship services?
Thank you so much. I think that's quite a very, very fundamental discussion and fundamental topic. Mm. You find out that with the emergence of technology, people tend to prefer convenience. They want convenience. The shortest and the easiest way to get something is what people would choose. Mm-hmm. I think that online services and using the technology to advance God's mission is a good thing and cannot be discouraged. The Bible says pray without ceasing.
Yes,
you know, so all the time we are supposed to be doing things that are progressive, that help us in our lives, that bring us closer to God. Mm-hmm. And technology should also be used for worship. Mm-hmm. There are times when the worship place is unreachable because of many other reasons.
Yeah.
You cannot then just say, I'm going to sleep. If people can use technology to do things that are not godly, why can't Christians use technology to do things that are godly?
Mm.
Let's use technology to listen to music, to attend to services, to follow our services, even online, listen to music that is uplifting. It is using everything for the glory. The Bible says, so whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it for the glory of God. Mm. So your YouTube should be used for the glory of God. Your WhatsApp groups should be churchish. Your Facebook groups should also be churchy, so that at the end of the day, like Job, they will find no guile in us.
Mm.
Like Job, will find no guile in us. Mm. However, at the same time, it's a bit different when you are attending a church service face to face.
Okay.
The experience is a bit different. Mm. I remember the other story I once read about people were having an online virtual meeting,
mm-hmm.
and the person was wearing only shirt and tie right at the top. And beneath, they were just putting on their nightwear, their boxers.
Yes.
And by accident, the camera moved downwards.
Yeah.
And the entire meeting participants saw that he was only wearing a boxer.
Yes.
Those are some of the challenges. And now you see with the advancement of emerging technology, there is now a phenomenon called artificial intelligence.
Okay.
AI.
Yes.
And when meetings are virtual, you can actually have an avatar masquerading and behaving like a real person.
Yes.
You think that you are talking to your very own pastor that you know, or your very own friend that you have always loved, But it's actually an avatar that is mimicking and talking like that person.
Mm.
These are some of the challenges that can come if we overly depend on social media, on technology, on virtual meetings. I'm sure this one is in the public domain. I can freely talk about it. The Hong Kong 25 million scandal.
Okay.
The entire executive, they were meeting in a virtual meeting, and only one person was real, the finance director.
Okay.
Everyone else was an avatar.
Ow.
And at the end of the day, the company was defrauded a lot of money.
Sure.
So unless we are very conversant with identifying the indicators of compromise, many people might go through a virtual service thinking that it's real, it's safe, it's the real one, when in actual fact, someone has taken over because of the advancement in technology.
Yes.
Talk about artificial intelligence, talk about big data analytics, you know, and all these things put together will need men and women who are more careful, who are wise like the serpent and yet soft like a dove.
Okay.
As we get into. And then the other one, the other obvious drawback is obviously issues to do with decorum.
Yes.
You know, there's a certain behavior that Christians are expected to take when they are before the holy God, some reverence. In the presence of God, we ought to be reverent. And
yes.
This is very easy to do when you're in a church, because deacons are also standing by to see those who are ready to misbehave. You know, you're also looking around your other Christians,
yes.
and you don't want to disturb their worship service. But if you're alone, even in the toilet, in a virtual service, no one will know that this participant is saying amen from the toilet.
Mm.
And the question now is, would you want a worship service to lose its reverence and decorum simply because it's an online? So I've just tried to give a synopsis of the pros and cons. It doesn't have to be 100% virtual Christian service life. Sometimes you also need to see one another face to face and also encourage, even the just to hold, unless we are confined to technology because of circumstances beyond our control, like time differences. Maybe I want to attend a service that is happening in a country where the time zone is so different. I cannot physically attend at 2 a.m. or so. Then one can watch this, join the same service online. Or if there are restrictions that come with maybe global pandemics or travel restrictions, or other things that may make, or even financial restrictions. I really want to attend a GC Pathfinder Campori in America, but I don't have a visa, I don't have money. Then technology comes handy to attend it virtually.
Yeah.
But this should not be a substitute for people going to their local churches and regularly worshiping with others.
So looking at, you know, you've mentioned, for example, when you're speaking about the disadvantages, how sometimes people are not there, the decorum is out in the window at that particular time. How can we now, when we're doing online church, you know, maintain a sense of community and connection? Because you don't know who's on the other side. In fact, because of of people hacking, you know, Zoom meetings as an example. Now, I remember last week we were having a training how when you enter, there's a setting there that you do that disables your video, you know, so you don't know who's on the other side of that black screen. So how then do we build the community? Because if I come to church and I don't see you, I'm able to make a call, you know, I'm like, hey Mfundisi, we have not seen you in 3 months, are you okay, is everything fine? But if we don't know who's on the other side, how are we now able to maintain that community?
Exactly. In fact, you, like you rightly mentioned, some people can just turn on and then leave the computer to do other things. You know, so you are talking to a person who's supposedly present, but in actual fact, they are doing other things. During the online meetings, it is important for each person to understand that it's worthy. It's the, you know, the Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also.
Yes.
And the same should apply when we worship God even through the virtual services.
Mm-hmm.
The other time I was preaching to a church in New Jersey,
yeah.
and I was connecting to them via the technology platforms.
Mm.
The idea to know that while we are in different places, while we are geographically remote, but we are not far from our Maker, because Jesus is omnipresent. That should give us a sense of reverence,
yes.
to the worship service,
yes.
because God is there. And by the way, when worship is about a personal, there are people even in a physical church that actually go to sleep or that actually begin to daydream, even when they are physically in the same church as others. They are physically there, but their minds are haywire.
Mm.
So sometimes that consciousness to know that Jesus is here, to say, I'm going to turn my eyes upon Jesus, I'm here to see Jesus, and all the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. It's very different when one eye is on the social, in their technology church service, virtual platform church service, and the other eye is busy doing other things. Once you know that the sovereign of the universe is there, it makes the worship service holy.
Sure. Yeah.
Remember that Moses met God in a bush. Met God in a bush, and the presence of God in that bush made the place holy.
Mm.
Actually, God then says to Moses, remove your shoes, because the place where you're at right now is holy. The bush is not ordinarily holy, but the presence of God in that bush made it a holy experience.
Mm.
The same applies with our virtual worships. They may seem to be too obvious and things that we are used to, but when God is present in that virtual worship service, that platform becomes holy and we ought to be reverenced. When we have that understanding, we would treat these worship services with the reverence that it deserves.
And it's something you're bringing up, Mfundisi, there. You know, I mentioned that sometimes, Misham, I'm in my bed. I think we can all, once it has happened, during COVID, let's just say during COVID, less people say we are still behaving like that now. Where, for example, if you don't have a smart TV, you are using your laptop, as an example, you know, and your phone is free. You are attending the service, but you are doing something else on your phone, you know.
Exactly.
Unless if you are watching on your phone, you don't have another gadget. But if you are using another gadget, even when it's on the smart TV, you are there. They are busy singing the hymn 202 there. When now you are busy on Facebook, maybe checking out what other churches are doing, or maybe you are catching up with your friend on WhatsApp. So we hardly pay that whole attention to what is happening on our screens. And even though sometimes when we are at the local church, we do that. The pastor is busy, sweating, preaching there. Now we are busy on our phone.
Yes, exactly. Some people may not even be physically on the phone, but their minds are really thinking about very, very nasty things, daydreaming and fantasizing. When God is really taking that time to... Do you know that we never know when God presents his final call of mercy? We never know when it becomes the last call to salvation before probation is closed. It means that Noah, do you think if Noah, a very good example, if Noah were to live in our day, in the day and age where there is technology, he would preach in person, he would also preach on the social media. If you open Noah's status, if Noah were to relive in today's world, he would be saying on the status, repent for the flood is coming, get into the ark. That was the message.
Yeah.
So sometimes we become too relaxed to hear God's call on mercy. The last sermon that someone can hear can actually be a sermon that's virtual, you know? And it goes on beyond our time.
Yeah.
Somebody called me one day and says, Pastor, I was about to commit suicide, but I listened to this message which was there on the technology platforms. And I was not there. I was actually in the garden when this person, I listened to your sermon where? I'm in the garden. Sermon on the virtual platforms. So God continues to speak even on the digital platforms. And we ought to take it seriously, to keep a level eye, to be single-minded about the things of God. It's a reflection of the importance we place upon the God who's speaking to us.
So
I wouldn't advise people to multitask when it's sermon time and they're watching the sermon on the TV. That may not be the time to be multitasking, doing Facebook, either watching a movie and then you pause the movie a bit to listen to a contribution, and then you continue the movie later, because that may distract the mind from listening to the most important word that God wants to tell you through the virtual platforms.
So looking at those issues, in what ways now can we improve those online services, you know, so that they become effective? We also understand that God is also there. It's not any manga manga business. How then do we improve our, those services?
Okay, that's. I think for the presenters, facilitators of the virtual worship services, they should constantly try, by all means, to keep the attention of the participants active.
Okay.
You know, there's nothing wrong with greeting people by name. There's nothing wrong with asking some of the participants to also offer a prayer or to lead in song. You know, if it's a discussion, check on everybody if they've understood. It keeps their attention, even if the temptation is saying, go to Facebook, go to Facebook. Look, your secret admirers just said hi. You will still be drawn back to focus on the program because the presenter has called upon your name, you know, or has made it's a discussion that's relevant to the participants. Then for the participants, this was on the facilitators, if you're leading a discussion on a virtual platform. But now for the members who are attending virtual programs, it's good to also actively participate. If the if the segment is now a music segment and a hymn is being sung, check your hymn book wherever you are and try to sing along. If the pastor has called upon a text, biblical text to be read, check your Bible wherever you are. Also open up the text so that you follow with the preacher. Actively write notes on a piece of paper. It's very difficult to write notes and open the Bible while you are in the toilet, multitasking, or if you're in the bedroom, busy sleeping. These calls for a more formal setup where there's a pen and paper, a Bible, a hymn book, even though the service is happening virtually, but you're writing notes somewhere. You're opening your Bible elsewhere. And that may help you to participate. When it's time to pray, don't let the sound pray when you are busy doing other things, washing dishes, or replying to someone on Facebook. Close your eyes also as the prayer is being offered. Lift your heart to God, because it is at that time that God wants to have a personal connection with you.
So looking at, you know, Mpundis, me, I've shared a bit of my experiences. It's not a lot. It's not that deep, you know. But looking at you, you know, have you experienced any personal growth when attending virtual prayers, or challenges that you faced, Mpundis, you know, when you were busy attending virtual worship services, be it during COVID times, be it now? Any challenges or any positives that you faced?
I'll start with the positives, because there are more than the challenges. I think the virtual worship services have been the greatest for me, especially during the COVID period and even post-COVID. The biggest advantage is that as you are listening to a sermon, if a point strikes you, you can move the cursor. Let's say it's a video on YouTube, for instance. We can move the cursor a bit so that the video plays back at that time. There's options to record services so that you can listen to them even much later. Virtual services are very good because you can even provide immediate feedback or even type in a question in the comment section, and then the presenter can actually respond to it directly. You also realize that you can adjust the volume of the speaker or reduce it to your convenience. You know, there are times when a physical worship service can become so unbearable, when the microphone is just excessively too loud and you wonder, what can I do? This is just too loud for my liking. Or sometimes it'll be too slow, too low, and you can barely hear anything. But through virtual worship services, you can adjust the volume on your handheld set, and then it becomes very, very appropriate for what you want to hear. And you can also be able to take down notes at your own pace and record it for later view or a repeat. These are very, very important. And sometimes you have access to translations. If a person is preaching in English, you can have the sermon come out in your own native language with the coming up of various technologies that make virtual worship a delight.
Yeah.
Then coming to the disadvantages, I think these are quite common. You know, there are always more temptations when you're at home listening to a sermon in your own comfort than they are at church. You know, at church, we have little to look at. You are just looking at the preacher, at the pulpit. And if at most temptations are getting the better of you, you are just looking at your neighbors. But if you are home, there are so many things, you know. You have got phone calls that can come in because the person who's calling you doesn't know that you're actually in a church service. You can have visitors coming in to knock. Can we come in and do this? Those are some of the challenges that people can face. Or even just the temptation to let it play as I do other things.
Yeah.
You know, if the sermon is not so exciting, if it's boring. In church, even if the pastor is boring, you are forced to sit there until 12 o'clock when the service ends.
You know, we don't have a choice. We can't even go to the toilet at that time.
But now if you're at home and the sermon is boring, you can just mute and then do other more interesting things.
Yeah.
So the devil can. But I think with the discussions that we've had today, the understanding that I'm going to meet the Lord, that should give us a sense of decorum, a sense of reverence, to say, I'm going to treat this worship service virtually with the same reverence that I treat a real service that is physical.
Pundisi, thank you for that one. I think we have learned, and I think now for some of us who stay on the bed and drink tea while the service is on, you know, we're going to repent. I'm going to ask that, can you please close with a word of prayer for us?
Sure. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Our compassionate, loving Father in heaven, thank you once more for your wonderful deliberation that we had on virtual worship services. We long that we always spend our time with you. Allow us to walk with you just like Enoch. May we breathe prayer. May we pray without ceasing in our phones, on our YouTube channels, on our Facebook platforms. May all these be places where we meet you. We pray that you may bless our physical services. May you speak to us and guide us as we meet physically. May you also meet and be with us and guide us and preach to us as we meet with you virtually. Give us a sense of reverence to know that even if you are worshiping you and fellowshipping with each other virtually, you are just there with us in the same vein as you would be with us physically. Thank you, dear Father. We pray for every listener. Continue to bless and guide us. Give us more technology and give us the discipline to use it for the glory of your name. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mpundisi, thank you so much. May you have yourself a blessed day.
God bless you.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.